So this is somebody who I've wanted to interview for years, and now I finally have the platform to do it and sit on this side of the microphone. Welcome, Nikki Semmerini, to the Reinvent Podcast.
It's great to be here, Nikki.
I'm so glad.
Because I, as you said, I've had you on the other side, and I so enjoyed interviewing you and learning from you, so it's a pleasure to be here.
It was about 6 years ago that I started on your show, and I think we've all come a long way. And what I wanted to talk to you about today is life is not coming at you, it's coming from you. Where did that come about? That is so powerful.
It is powerful. It is. And when you see that that's how life works, everything changes for you. So I didn't start that way. You know, I mean, when we worked together on Chai FM, all was going pretty well in my world. I went through about 3 years of hectic loss on a professional level, very much on a personal level. And I don't know if you can relate, and people who are listening can relate, where you wake up in the morning and you put a smile on your face, married, two kids, and to the outside world, everything seemed absolutely perfect and absolutely fine. But inside, there was this unsettling feeling, this feeling of not good enough, that life is difficult, that things are working against me, etc., etc., etc. So I'd wake up and I'd go, you know, today's going to be an amazing day. Today's going to be fine. I've always been a positive person. I'd get up and go, go, go. And one little thing, it would just, everything would unravel. And it was really just a headspace of feeling very down, depressed. I talk about a pit of despair. It's all I could see. It was this pit of despair. Functioning perfectly. Functioning, but happy, filled with joy, filled with... Not at all. And so, very interestingly, I was taking my son one afternoon in 2015. We were off to a soccer game. And we were chatting away, and all of a sudden, I was crossing a busy intersection, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw someone skip a traffic light and come flying towards us. So I instinctively swerved, which thank God I did, otherwise he would have T-boned right into my door. He hit the front of the car, we went flying into the traffic light, and this huge, terrible bang, I don't know if you've been in an accident, that sound, the hiss, the smoke, and then, you know, just looking at my son and him looking back at me and instinctively, are you okay? And he said, I'm okay. And we got out the car and it was this mangled wreck, and we looked at one another and we were fine. There was no blood. There was nothing broken. It was bruises and scratches. It really was, it was almost like the wake up for me was really, really a big bang. And it was only when I got home and I started to think about what happened. I put my son to sleep and I was going, oh, thank you, God. And, oh, look what could have happened. We could be in hospital. I could be crippled. And then all of a sudden I thought, oh, I could be burying my son tomorrow. And it was such a painful place to go. And then with that, in an instant, the realization of, again, thank you, God. I'm so grateful to be alive. I'm so grateful to have this life. I'm so grateful to be who I am, to love. And this gratitude, this love, this happiness just overwhelms me. And you know, for most people that go, well, why was that so important? Why did that have such an effect on you? Because when you're feeling so low, you know, and when you look out and everything just seems so dark and hopeless and exhausting, and that same day you feel that life is a blessing, that it's a gift, that you're so happy to be alive, that everything's so beautiful, and you feel the contrast, the realization for me was, you know, it wasn't the external world, obviously, that was making me feel this way, because I was still in mourning. I was still unemployed. I was still in a financial crisis. The external world had not changed, yet my internal world had changed. The way I was experiencing my world changed. And so it was an aha moment for me. And the thing about aha moments is you think that, oh, you've seen the light and then everything's light. For me, it was the aha moment and then the journey of getting back to that. Yeah. And so the realization was that life is not coming at me. When I live in a world where I think that the world has to be a certain way in order for me to be okay, to be happy, to be peaceful, I live in the paradigm of life is coming at me. When I realize that it's all experience happens in my own mind, everything's happening in me, and then I'm projecting it outwardly, then it just gives me a wonderful sense of power, control, and adventure and excitement and everything that goes with it. So life is not coming at me, it's coming from me.
And I think that so many people we talk to feel disempowered, and that is the source of depression. Mm. It's a source of conflict.
Sure.
Where we don't have control. It almost always seems to take a dramatic event, a bang, before we say, okay, we're listening now. I'm listening. Tell me what you're trying to say, because the universe whispers. And when we don't hear the whispers, it has to shout.
True.
Unfortunately, it has to be terrifying a lot of the time, because that's the only way it seems that the human brain changes gears under pressure. And I think that's got a lot to do with human evolution as well. The human being and most species on this planet have taken thousands of years to evolve. It's only through a force of nature or something cataclysmic where we're forced to think differently. Mm-hmm. And that's survival.
Absolutely.
So thank God everything was okay, that nobody was seriously hurt, and that it helped you. It feels to me like the universe said, okay, you're destined for something else. Get out of the shell. And yes, you're so right. Nothing in reality changes, just the way we see it.
Just the way we see it.
Isn't that magical?
Then every moment is just a gift, and every moment is fantastic. And then we stop trying to manipulate this external world, which is impossible. It's exhausting. It's defeating. And then you're congruent. You're living the life you want to live, because what is. And also this idea that, you know, as you've said, something big has to happen in order to shift, in order to change. It shouldn't always be like that. It really, really shouldn't. We should be open to what's happening, because reality will give us the lessons. Reality is there. It's when we argue with reality that we suffer. And this notion that in order to live a good life, everything has to fall into place. I mean, what nonsense is that? Do you know anyone's life who's perfect?
There's no such thing.
There's no such thing. So everything that life brings us is a gift. The good and the bad. There's the gift in that. And when we don't see it as a punishment, or I'm going, you know, everyone at the end of the year, it was a bad year. This happened. Well, was it a bad year? Was it a bad year? Let's really question that belief. Let's question that thought. Was it a bad? Is this just life? And how do I find a way of questioning what I believe about that in order to find my peace? And actually love what it is.
And haven't we been taught not to question authority, not to question religion, not to question what our parents have taught us? And it's really got the world into this dysfunctional state where
it's true, Nikki. Yeah, absolutely.
To question is to grow. And we're seeing it now with education, with children, is they're encouraged to question.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's hope. You know, question everything. You know, it's not the way it was before.
Mm.
And thank goodness for that, because we're sitting with a mess because we just gave up to authority and gave up to tradition. And there's a place for all of that, but it's not working. Mm. And somebody's got to say the emperor's not wearing any clothes before anybody else pays attention.
So true.
So coffee and conversations, is that a natural progression of your adventure with a near-death experience?
It is. So, you know, I had all these amazing epiphanies, and I went on this incredible, and I'm still on the journey, and I love this journey, and it's learning, and it's growing, and it's experimenting, and it's trying. A person that I came across, I go really on many tangents, Nikki, when I answer a question. I wish I could just go there, but someone that I was able to interview was Byron Katie. And I had never, ever heard of Byron Katie. When my producer said, have you heard of her? And I thought, I don't know. And I investigated and I researched and I thought, would she be easy to interview? And I was very curious and I interviewed her. But what really stuck with me was, here was a lady who was giving you a how. You know, we read the books on the mind, how the mind works, how thought works. And then what do we do with that? How do we move forward with it? And I love how Byron Katie, from her personal experience of being very depressed and then having her epiphany, her realization was that she realized that when she believed her thoughts, she suffered. And when she did not believe her thoughts, she did not suffer. In other words, anything she believed, she would put up to four questions. She developed these four questions. It is so simple. And once you question something, what you're believing loses its charge. So After interviewing Byron Katie, this was definitely a path that I took because I started to apply it in my world. All the beliefs I had about this person did this and this organization did this and this, I questioned it and questioned it. It was like peeling an onion. It was amazing. I'd go walking in the park. I'd sit in front of a lake with my inquiry, my judge your neighbor worksheets, and I worked it. And as I worked it, so I would feel the charge of that thought just dissolve. And all of a sudden, that thought that was stuck, that story that I was projecting, would just move through and out. And everything started to change. It felt like my husband changed. It felt like my children changed. It felt like the world was changing. But it was me. I was projecting differently onto them.
Yes. And they respond differently to you.
Well, absolutely. Well, everything changes. You go, wow, it's magic. Well, it's not. You know, you're changing the lens because we are projectors. We're not cameras. Living from the inside out, not the outside in, means that we're projectors. Everything that I'm thinking and believing, I'm projecting.
That gives us so much power.
So it's amazing.
We've got all the power in the world to change our lives. No one's going to do it for you.
100% responsible for our experiences. And every person in our life is our creation. We create every person. You have the person, and then you have my creation of the person. Just like everyone has a different opinion about you. It's all these projections. And so this peeling away and finding clarity of mind, seeing how my life changed because of it. Mindfulness exercises and meditation. And I thought, I want to spread it. I want other people to see how simple it is, how easy it is, freeing it is. So I got to a point when I realized, like, how do you approach everybody? How do you have an opportunity where everyone has the opportunity? You go into corporates, it's a few people. You have other people where they can be, you know, in a position where they're going to psychologists or psychiatrists. What about all the people in between? What about the people who wake up in the morning and from the moment they wake up to the moment they go to sleep, their minds are filled with thoughts and stories. It's this, they're ruminating, they're projecting, they're in the state and they don't even know it. And what about all those people who should have access to the stuff, who don't? And so I thought, to create a community who supports one another, to sit in a very informal space, a coffee shop, to sit drinking coffee where it's noisy, because life is noisy, but can we, in a noisy space, just be quiet, be still, connect, share? And so Coffee and Conversations is, it's really, really grown, and it's for people who are on a journey. It's for people who want to transform. It's for people who want to find peace, who are open-minded, who are willing to question what they believe and do so in a very supportive way. So Coffee and Conversations absolutely has been an extension of this. And it's just, it's a wonderful thing to see people go on a journey and transform, not because they have to and not because anyone else is changing or doing something for them, but because they have an inner wisdom that they connect to. And that changes everything for them.
You must have some fascinating stories from people who've done your workshop.
Amazing.
Is there anything you can think of?
Well, you know, I mean, I can share some things because we do share it in an open forum, and I wouldn't want to step on anyone's toes by sharing something. I have people who turn around and say, I have an awful relationship with my family, and we can sit and we can discuss it, and we go around in the circle, and you see everyone then agrees, you know, yes, my mother's like this, my father's like this, my brother's like this. And this particular person was talking about her life from when she was younger, that she was the older sibling, she had a younger sibling born, this sibling died unfortunately, then there was another one, and she had a whole story about why she was never the favorite, why she was never listened to, why the younger sister was always listened to. And you could just hear this identity, the story, the struggle with the mother, the father, with the sister, and the building up and the building up. And it was so painful for her. It was so difficult for her that the only thing she could do was to stop speaking to them, was to turn her back on them. Her father became ill. She would see him sporadically, but we would talk, you know, about this dynamic of the family. And you don't have to go into it. You just have to go to, when you're doing a Byron Katie Judge Your Neighbor worksheet, you just have to go to your most recent time that you had with them when, you know, she went home, her father was in bed, she had an altercation with him, then the mother came in and she just put the question was, you know, my mother doesn't love me. My father doesn't listen to me. And we question it. And when you question it, you get to see that it's just not true.
You're not always right.
You're not always right. And so her shift was, because I said to her, she said, I'm happier not speaking to my family, before we did the sheet. And I said, okay, how do you feel about that? How do you feel when you think about it? She said, I'm anxious and I'm angry and then I'm sad. I said, so it's not okay that you don't speak to them. Because a lot of people will just say, well, I'm going to eradicate you from my life and then I'm going to find peace. But is there peace? So this work helps you find peace. In other words, there's nothing you can do or say that will prevent me from loving you. Because it's always going to be about me. So with this particular person, what she came to see was everything was projected from her. It's not to say that she didn't have a difficult time with her parents, with her mother or her father, but when she questioned it, she got to see the role that she played. You know, and the shift, it's just amazing.
Yes.
You know, it's a very general, because I can't go into specifics, but like that.
Yeah. I've done the Byron Katie work. It is very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I'm thinking, feeling, doing, is it based in reality?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is almost always no.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply my manifestation, my brain, and the people in our lives are characters we've set up to play a role. They play the role that we expect them to. In our eyes, in mm-hmm. our mind, mm-hmm. the character they're playing is different to them.
Exactly.
And it is. It's a bit of a mind-bending experience, because it leaves you feeling like everything all of our dogmas we bought into are not true. And, you know, where's the grounding in that? So it does leave you feeling like a loose end, but that's empowering.
Yeah, well, it just gets you to see something for what it really is, to really see reality for what it is without your projection or your interpretation. It's like the emperor who called in three wise men and he blindfolded them, and there was an elephant in the room, and the one held the elephant's tail and the other one the elephant's trunk and the other one the elephant's ear, and he said, describe this animal. And they all had three completely different descriptions, and then they would listen to the other description and they would argue, but that's not hard, it's soft, it's not flexible, it's all of these things, because for them their reality was their absolute reality, their absolute truth. And we live in a world where there's war because this is how I see it. You can't see it the way I see it. I will have to convince you to see it the way I see it. But when we just question it and question it, we get to see it for what it truly, truly is. So, yeah, there are four simple questions. It can be difficult. But what I love about it is that the answer comes from you, Nikki. So if you sit with it, if you meditate on the question, the inner wisdom within you will give you the answer. Not just the thinking mind, not the ego, the identity. The inner wisdom will come to you. And it's available to absolutely everybody.
Yes.
Can do it. How was it for you? Did you do it for a period of time? How was it?
I did it for a period of time. It didn't take long to get through that workbook, which incidentally, I think it's free.
Mm-hmm.
I think
you can everything's just, free. You can she offers everything.
Yes.
For free, yeah.
It really... but I love working through things like that. So for me, I pushed myself to get real. It eliminated a lot of stress from my life immediately. Immediately, I let so much go,
mm-hmm.
which was incredible. And then I had all this energy to focus on things that mattered. Yeah. I really did see the world from a different perspective. The gratitude for what was going on in the moment, not my perception of what, of the stress.
Mm.
It enabled me to really think about things differently, which is all that we can ever really hope
Absolutely.
For.
Absolutely.
It's
amazing.
I think the work is ongoing. Mm. So you go back and revisit it a couple of times.
Mm.
And you should. You shouldn't just take for granted that this is a one-time opportunity. We should always be looking at this.
Well, Byron Katie says that you should wake up every day and you should do a Judge Your Neighbor worksheet. You know, you should do it because you just... It gets you back on track. What's real? What's not real? So ultimately, this is what she's saying. She's saying it's not what's happening. It's what you think is happening. So it's not my child is so disrespectful. I think my child is disrespectful, or let me question whether my child is disrespectful, and I get to see a completely different reality. It's just my thoughts about my child that's actually disrespectful.
And our thoughts create our physiology.
Oh,
it creates our illness.
Everything.
Which is, again, the power to be well is in your hands if you're willing to go down that road.
Isn't it wonderful?
It is. It's a miracle. It's an absolute gift and a miracle that we've got these tools and these people who can say, stop, look, think differently.
Mm.
It just inspires such gratitude. How do we get this to children, teenagers, high school kids who are living in their perception of reality based on social media, other children's ideas about how they should be in the world? How do we get kids to embrace understanding this?
What a challenge. Challenge because we've actually got to get to the parents first. We've got to get to the teachers first because it's so simple. Kids pick it up so quickly. Teenagers pick it up so quickly because they're still pliable and soft and flexible. We're not. We're becoming more and more brittle. The older we get, the experiences that we have in life, we get so set and stuck in our ways. So being able to reach children is an absolute gift. Being able to change perceptions and narratives at a young age, absolutely amazing. And I love that. And we've got to change the whole mindset, as I said, within schools, within parenting. You just look at parents. My son's in matric at the moment. You just look at parents and you look at the pressure on these kids. Like, I need my child to get these marks. There's very little opportunity in order to get into varsity. And you just see the parent projecting. You see the anxiety in the parent, which is projected on the child. And then the child becomes this anxious child. I'm doing a workshop actually for grade 11s and grade 12s coming up soon, just helping them deal with the stress of exams, the stress of work. So if we had to go to school, if we had to go to the schools and we had to say, let's work on mind and thought. Let's teach these kids right now. I wish I knew, Nikki. I wish, and I'm sure you feel the same way. I knew this when I was younger. You are not your thoughts. You just tell these kids, these teenagers, you are not your thought. Just sit quietly for a moment and say something to yourself. Hello, how are you? Say that in your own mind. Can you hear that? Who's saying it? And who's listening to it? Right. So you get to see and they get to see, whoops, that there's a separation over here. There's a listener. And then there's that voice, that endless voice. I've got to do this and I've got to, and will he like me and will she like me and will I do okay? Will I be invited to the party? Am I good enough? That is just this voice. It's just my mind. It's only a thought. It's not me. It's just passing through. As it passes through, oh my goodness, I feel it in my body. I feel a bit anxious. I feel a bit nervous. I feel a bit sad. I feel a bit angry. But it's not me. It's passing through my body. And when children and when teenagers start to realize that they don't identify with the thought, that it's just the thought, I am not my thought. Well, you've got freedom. You've got freedom. So how do we get there? We've got to start getting schools to realize that that is just as important as 1+1.
Yes, and it's just think a lot important. Of schools are open to new ideas because they're not coping with what they're seeing.
Mm.
The level of depression, suicidal thoughts, anxiety in young people, and when you're anxious, you can't study, you can't concentrate. We do have to get the parents on board. It's not going to be just coming from the school, coming from the kids. So this is a big job, but I think we are sitting at a point in history, especially in South Africa, where kids are more anxious than ever before because of the crime, the fear that's out there.
Mm.
And it's very much perpetuated by our imaginations. Mm. It's almost like watching a horror movie.
Well, it is watching a horror movie. It's not even almost, it absolutely is. We are playing the movie over and over and over and over again. And we're playing that movie.
And we're getting sick. So the autoimmune disease, the cancer, all of these illnesses where we feel hopeless and helpless are simply a reflection of our thoughts being hopeless and helpless. Mm. We have to hand over our power to somebody else to fix us where it starts in our own heads.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely, Nikki. So I work with five fundamental truths. And I just find that when you understand these five fundamental truths, they become a framework from which you operate. So I put it very simply for younger kids, for teenagers. It's easy. And for adults, and when we actually do our coffee and conversations, this is how we start every coffee and conversations. So the number one is reality. Number two is thought. Three is feeling. Four, past and future, and five is the present. So when we look at reality, we say there is one reality. You cannot change reality. It is what it is. And we all have a different perception of reality. So because we are all experiencing the same reality in such a different way, based on who we are, how we are, everything, our whole map of reality, it means we can change the way we experience our reality. So reality is reality. We cannot change it. We have to accept what is, but we have the power to change the way we experience it. Number two, thoughts. Thoughts come and thoughts go. We are being thought all the time. They're not personal. Our mind secretes thoughts. What happens is we attach to a thought gets stuck. Every supporting thought that comes with it gets stuck. It becomes a story and we project it because our thoughts are the lens through which we project our reality, right? So we are projectors and we're not cameras. And so when we realize that we're not our thoughts and we realize that it is the thought in the moment that affects our reality, we know we've got to look at our thoughts. Then the third fundamental truth is feeling, and all feeling comes from thought. So as we think, we feel. And we don't like certain feelings, so we suppress the feeling, we ignore the feeling, we try to distract ourselves. But feelings are the guide to the freedom that we're looking for. When we feel off, Nikki, when we feel defensive, when we feel angry, when we feel sad, when we feel... it's because we're believing something. And we've got to go to the belief.
Just to pause you, do you feel or think that the social media numbing out is a really good way of not sitting with feelings?
For sure, absolutely, absolutely. And it's also getting everything from the external.
Yeah.
So that's going to make me feel good. If that feels bad, I distract, I move. There's very little sitting, and the power is in the sitting. The power is in the noticing. The power is, I feel this. And let me feel it. This is a gift. Let me allow it to go through. Because the feeling is the wake-up call that something is off in my thinking. And our children absolutely are not taught to just feel. We numb it. We're not taught. When we don't like the feeling, what do?
Anything.
Anything.
To
right?
Just not go
anything.
There.
We eat, we shop, we pop pills, we gamble, we switch on TV, we get lost in Netflix, we want to distract because we don't want to go there. But our feelings, they're gifts. The feeling is the wake-up call. So the past and the present is the fourth truth. The past is over. And the only way we can experience the past is when we play a movie in our mind. It's a simulation. That's all it is. And it changes, believe it or not, every time you play that past. Because you're recollecting, so it changes. And the future doesn't even exist. It's just our imagination. And yet this moment right now is affected by the past and the future. Isn't that incredible? And so then the last truth is the present moment. And we talk about the present moment. Mindfulness talks about the present. Everyone talks about the present moment. And if we really sit with it, this is the only, you talk about bending time, this is the only moment that exists. There is nothing else that exists. It's you and it's me in this room.
Which brings me back to running.
Running, yes, you've got to help me with this.
I think this is your next self-experiment in being in the present moment because, I think it's anybody who decides to go and run is...
crazy.
No, yes, crazy. Every runner is crazy, but it's commendable because it is you versus you on every level. We're not running against other people. We think we are. We're not. And if anything forces you to be in the now, it's that. And I've learned that the hard way. Mm. Let's just chat, just to go aside, briefly discuss your decision to run to Jerusalem and partake in this incredible event. What was our thinking? What was the leverage?
Oh, what was our thinking? You know, just to give you a backstory, I hate running. I hate running. As a teenager, I would run and I would find myself swearing and cursing under my breath because I hate running. And I've watched over the years, people really love running and getting into the zone. And I go, oh, fantastic. I'm a walker and I love my walking and I'm healthy. Do I push myself? No. I realize I don't push myself. As soon as it's slightly uncomfortable, that's when I stop. So every Thursday, I host the DL Link show. And the DL Link is the incredible organization. And they help cancer warriors and their family in such a way that they hold them and look after them and nurture them with meals, with helping with kids. It's incredible what they do. And they have all of these fundraisers and they send teams over every year. And every year I interview everyone. I go, oh, how are you feeling? And are you ready? And oh, I hate running, but good for you. And then this year they said, Nikki, won't you run for us? And I wasn't thinking when I said yes.
Yeah.
Clearly. I was in the moment of the euphoria and the excitement. I certainly hadn't projected into a future. And the next moment, I found myself signing up for a 10K. And yes, so that's where I am right now. I'm preparing to go in the next few weeks. Just to give you an idea, the first time I put on my tackies and I thought I'm going to start running, after 100 meters, I stopped. And I thought, I can't do this. But this is my body. I don't have the right body to run. My lungs aren't working properly. This is terrible and it's uncomfortable. And so it's an interesting journey. I now have my 17-year-old son who joins me sometimes and he pushes me. And it feels great afterwards, but I'm still finding it so hard, Nikki. I'm finding it very, very difficult.
There are ways to make this easier, and you have to stick to a strict regime and not overexert yourself. And if you don't know this, it's going to continue being painful. So congratulations for joining a family of millions of people who go, I don't know what I'm doing, but I need to do this. But it feels so good. It is probably one of the most natural things human beings can do next to walking. But I don't think you'll ever stop once you start. But there are ways to get through the madness. And this is the end of this month, the Jerusalem Marathon.
Yes, yes.
You have...
Yes. Oh, thanks for reminding me.
That's quite a task because 10Ks isn't... it won't kill you, but you might feel like you're dying to getting to the end of that.
I can't. There's no way I'm going to be ready physically to run 10Ks. I can easily power walk 10Ks. I'm hoping to run 5 and power walk 5.
Yeah,
that's what I'm aiming for.
Okay, so we need to get you a good pro. Have you got a good program?
Working with an app on my phone. Okay. It's telling me to do this and then telling me to do that, which is amazing. Yeah. I love the technology. But I like what you said about in the moment when you're running.
Yes. So that's the whole point is what I've learned is to not think about the finish line, to not think about anyone around you, not to think about anything except this breath, this footfall, where the tension is in the body and breathing through the tension. Just in this very second, not the next or the next. And that gets you from first kilometer to 10th kilometer relatively painlessly. Mm. But it is a lesson in living in the moment, which is just, it's a challenge. So this is probably the next step on your level.
It is.
Yeah, and who knows where we're going to go from here? This is very exciting.
No, it really is because I'm pushing myself in a way I never have before. And as you say, it is a mind game. So I've got this part of my mind that's screaming, stop, stop. What are you doing? Stop. And then it's pushing through that.
Yes. And anyway, the stop is natural. It's your self-preservation part of your brain that's trying to throttle you and go, what the hell were you thinking? Because we only run when you're running away from a predator. And yeah, the games that the mind plays to get you to stop is so funny. If you had to stand back from your mind and look at it as if it was a comedian running you through a whole lot of scenarios, you would start to laugh.
Yeah.
Because that is what the brain is geared to do. It's like, stop doing this to yourself. And isn't this the conversation we're having in life with all sorts of fears? Don't think that thought. Don't go and confront this. Don't deal with that because it's scary and it's uncomfortable and we can't breathe. It's the same with running. So,
as you said, metaphor. I mean, it is that, and the brain is saying, stop, look after yourself, you can hurt yourself. You know, we want to avoid any kind of danger because there isn't a lion running behind me. And so the ability, and as you say, it's taking what I do to the next level, because the ability for me to observe it and think it's just a thought. Just what I was saying about teenagers. It's not me. I'm fine. I'm running one foot in front of the other. I'm breathing. I'm okay. It's just a thought. Oh, let me wait for it to pass. And so you're not running on your own. You really aren't running on your own. And I've experienced this in the training, is that every time, like my one warrior started chemotherapy last week, third time she's had cancer. And so for me to run with her name on my back, every time I feel tired, I'm like, what do you know about tired? Every time I feel the pain, come on, Nikki, what do you know about the pain? So it's the streets of Jerusalem, the energy, the history, this person. It's, you know, everyone talks about it being such a life-shifting experience.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
I can't wait to find out because I want to do it next year.
Yeah.
Just to go back a step, you do a bit of corporate work.
Mm-hmm.
You take coffee and conversations or a version thereof into businesses. What has changed over the last couple of years, in your opinion, in corporates, the mindset, the competition, the way people are treating each other?
Well, you know, I mean, do people change? The circumstances are changing. The environment is changing. A lot of corporates are bringing something like mindfulness, yoga, exercise into the workplace, looking at mind wellness, not just wellness as in, am I eating the right foods, but am I thinking the right thoughts? Am I present? Am I in the moment? But I'm going to go back to, you can have an incredible environment, you can have everything set up, and then you have someone who comes in with their story, with their belief, the way they see the world, and that's how it's always going to be. So working with an individual is very, very challenging, and getting them to let go, like let go and let go and let go, and then everything shifts. So in corporate, you know, it's about listening to everybody, it's about giving everybody a voice within an environment where you can be free, where you can try and de-stress, where you can and work through the nonsense that you bring into the workplace. I think it's very challenging in corporates today. You've got different generations who are operating in different ways. You've got technology, which is unbelievable, giving people opportunities. And technologies that are holding people back, technologies that are rewiring brains, the ability to concentrate like we used to concentrate, focus, be as aware, you know, it's a different type of concentration that we're bringing into a workplace. And both are important. So I think a challenge with corporate is to, you know, hold on to a lot of the valuable stuff from the past and bring a lot of the new stuff in as well and try and marry the two, because there's value in both. There's value in all of it. And we've got to be careful not to just move forward and lose sight of the value of what came before.
Sure. Look, I work with a lot of corporates. That's how my company started, was in corporate healthcare. And there are definitely companies that challenge their thinking. It's part of what they do. Mm. They're always challenging the way they treat people, the way they think about their products, the way they're growing, the way they're innovating. And then there's some who just don't.
Mm.
It's just the way we've always done it. Nothing's going to change. Mm. And you can see the quality of output. There's a big need to challenge corporate thinking, just as we need to challenge our own thinking.
So the companies that I work with, you know, and I've only got a small amount of my clientele. It's very small because I work more with one-on-one and within the space, our coffee and conversations, as I said, where you've got the in-between. You're not you know, the corporates where they have all of the exposure to all of this information. The people that I'm exposed to are extremely open-minded. The work that I do requires, you know, when you're looking at personal development, when you're looking at inner transformation, it requires an open-minded approach. You've got to be able to sit and answer questions and ask questions. And if you're stuck in the narrative, and you can burst open that narrative, and that's what I love about it. So the people that I work with are willing to. It would be very difficult to work in an environment where I would have resistance, because it just wouldn't. I'm sure you've come across that as well.
Sure.
You know, I was in training and facilitation for 20 years. I had my own training company, and it was communication, soft skills training. The same thing. So what I found was when I was working with someone, the interpersonal skills, I wasn't just working with the ability to listen on a level of, are they listening correctly? Are they projecting their voice? Are they able to present? It's their mindset. It's who are you? Who in the world, how do you see yourself? And I would very, very often go to, again, the inner transformation. And when we worked on the inner transformation, then everything else developed from there. So that was from years ago, and it's the same for today. Open mind, a willingness. And if the company, and if that is the culture of the company, then that's incredible. Huge changes, huge strides forward can happen.
Yeah. So what's going to take us into the future?
And this country into the future, and every country into the future. I always keep going back to Byron Katie, but she says, war ends with me. Yeah. War ends. Defense is the first line of war. And if every single person who works in an organization, every person part of a nation, you know, if we just realize that it ended with us, that if we have the understanding, then the understanding is there. And if corporates can do that, working, as I said, going to the individual, the transformation of self, the entire company shifts.
Right. All right. So we've come so far in 40 minutes. If people listening want to get in touch with you, want to get to your next workshop, want to start exploring, how do they get hold of you?
Very easy. So my website, www.nikkiseberini.com. I put all my latest coffee and conversations there. They can get in touch with me. They can get onto the newsletter. Every time I have a new blog, they can get a copy of the blog. If I'm running workshops, they'll be notified of workshops. Also, I'm busy designing a course, an online course.
Wonderful.
So Getting Unstuck in 21 Days is my first online course. And so all the information's there. It's all on the website. Okay. I'm on social media.
So I'll put all those links into the fabulous into the podcast page, and let's see where we go.
Fabulous.
And in the meantime, have an incredible experience.
Oh, thank you.
Doing that incredibly spiritual journey in Jerusalem. I think it's going to be the switch, another switch that makes things more magical. And
I think you're right.
And opens up new possibilities. These things don't happen by mistake. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens by mistake.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
So I'm so excited for you.
Nikki, I'll tell you all about it when I get back. Who knows? Maybe I'll be running more marathons with you in the future. You never know.
I think you will. I think the bug will bite. If it doesn't bite there, it never will.
Mm-hmm.
So well done. You've come so far. And I think there's only good things coming forward. This is it's so empowering talking to you. So thank you so much for being part of this.
Nikki, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. All those years ago, having you on the show, I always learned so much from you. I always loved having you on the show when you joined me. I learned, as
thank
I
you.
Said. So to be here today is a pleasure for me. And you've planted something. You know, with this running, I've always thought there's something bigger. And let's see what comes out of it.
This episode has been sponsored by Jackson's Whole Food Market. If you would like to win a hamper full of delicious, healthy products, please go to the link in the show notes, which can be found at reinventhealth.co.za/podcast notes. Include your name and loyalty card number and stand a chance to win.